Hey, true believers, this is Matthew Swift, and you're listening to Nerd Management.
Good evening, all my little nerdles. I'm one of your Coen brothers of nerd, Warner Swopes.
A caveman.
I'm the Alec Ward, one and only.
There's two of you and your brothers here.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
With us, as always, is Justin Richard Smith.
Oh,
and
Richard!
Chris Bantub.
What chocolate?
And then, of course... go ahead.
Tiffany Bain Swopes.
So... How are you guys doing?
We're just going to call you Bane forever now.
Yeah. It's all right. There are worse nicknames.
All right.
Wow.
Do we have some comics to talk about tonight, Mr. Ward?
I think we might.
Maybe? A couple?
I think we might.
All right.
So,
what was it? do you want me to start? What was your book of the week?
Was Secret Society number 1 or Justice League 23.4, I believe it was. And
first can I say thank God Villains Month is over so that we don't have to keep
saying, whatever. Well, and when we get to our topic, I was going to ask you that, but I'll just ask you now. Since it is the last week of Villains Month, how do you think it was? It was very hit and miss. Yeah, and that, I think it had some really high points like Black Manta, Secret Society, obviously, but then it had some really low points, the Joker, but most of the books just kind of fell in like that.
It had some good, I mean, Bane, Scarecrow, Ocean Master, all really good books.
Who's the guy that wrote Bane? I can't, Tomasi.
Pete Tomasi, yeah. Awesome.
All of the books that he did were really good.
They should have just let him write all the villains.
And Tinian, I think, the fourth, like, I'm not usually a big fan of his, but he did a couple ones that I genuinely like. But anyway... Back to the books of the week. Secret Society number 1. I thought it was really good. It was one of the only Villains Month books that actually tied directly into
Forever
Evil.
There were only a handful.
Yeah. And it featured my favorite character out of the Secret Society, Owlman, because, you know, I'm a Batman fan. But and it was really cool. It led exactly right up to the events of Forever Evil.
Yeah, kind of gave you the whole Earth 3 backstory of where the Syndicate came from.
Exactly, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. But I think honorable mentions, though, and I don't think this is your book of the week, I hope not at least, but Guardians of the Galaxy I truly enjoyed. I thought it was great.
It was a really good book.
I thought it was really good.
X-Men was good again, A Battle of the Atom.
I like Toy.
This time Jason Aaron wrote it, and... is really good.
Jason Aaron's awesome. You guys should read everything he writes. Everything.
But it's a really good book, and it's very Wolverine heavy, and he writes Wolverine well, so that was good.
Yeah.
But my book of the week, however, was Black Adam, which was, I believe, Justice League.
Justice League of America.
Yeah. Oh, Justice League of America.
JLA.
Right. Yeah. It was a really good book. Most of it just comes straight down to I love Black Adam. I think he's a really awesome villain. And what I like about it the most is, obviously, he's going to be in Forever Evil. And that was pretty clear from the cover of Forever Evil 1.
Yeah.
But then everyone was kind of like, didn't he just get turned to ashes and die? Well, they solve all that in this issue and kind of show how he comes back and show why he cares so much that the crime syndicate is trying to take over the world.
Did you ever watch the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies?
Yes.
Okay, you know the...
Pile of crap.
That's pretty close. But one of the books that they try to collect is called The Book of the Dead.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's like an actual thing.
Yes.
I'm sure the internet will tell me, or Justin will tell me. But
well, it is, because it's also an Evil Dead. The Necronomicon Ex Mortem.
Which, you know, if it's an Evil Dead, absolute fact.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have chainsaws for hands all day.
I do.
He only has chainsaws for hands. He's Justin Richard Chainsaw Hands.
Yeah. Trust me, picking your nose, hardest thing to do.
I don't think that'd be the hardest thing to do.
I can imagine.
Chainsaw hands. Anyway.
But anyway, that's how they resurrect. And I thought that was cool. Also, you get a glimpse of who I'm thinking is Isis and Osiris.
She is totally going to be Isis, right?
And I thought that was super cool.
Well, even like how the the wizard's word bubbles. The wizard wasn't even in it, but his word bubbles
were. Yeah, it was just dialogue.
And how he's like, she's important. And I was like, definitely going to be Isis.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love when Black Adam has a family. That's my favorite. Like, in 52, that was like one of my favorite stories, was the Black Adam family story. Yeah. And that's going to be good.
Well,
which clearly, we're pretty sure Jeff Johns is probably going to write a Shazam book.
I hope so.
There's that's more rumor than anything.
Put your name on it.
I would say right now that I think at New York Comic Con we'll get an announcement.
There's no thanks. It's got to be.
I'll put my name on it. At New York Comic Con we're going to get an announcement that Jeff Johns is writing a Shazam book.
I completely agree. Well, and I like that they put Black Adam in a different light. They didn't make him seem like such a D-bag. Like, he was actually a nice guy. Well,
and we'll talk,
he was a protector.
We'll talk
know?
About that a little bit when we talk about our topic, because we're going to talk about good and evil and what makes that those characters that way. But we'll definitely talk about that some more.
Agreed.
But my med book
this
week, unfortunately, was Ninja Turtles.
Pile of crap.
It wasn't really a pile of crap so much as
I was
so excited because last month there was the whole Bebop and Rocksteady
deal. We had a huge thing about
big deal about it. And then this month, no Bebop and Rocksteady. Like, what are they? Why did they tease me and then nothing for a whole issue?
But that's kind of what they've been doing, though. Like, and Invincible does the same thing.
Listen, I love Ninja Turtles, and I love every episode, every issue.
I like turtles. It just
wasn't quite what I wanted from that book this week. It was still a good book.
But
my review is up on Fanboy Factor if you want to read all about what I thought.
I think when... When Bebop and Rocksteady actually come in, though, I think you'll be like, everything that they've been leading up to has been it's been great. You know?
I know, I'll get all excited.
You make the best impression of Warner.
It's not a coloring book, it's just blue.
Hey, it is. We're not even going to talk about that. Let's get on to your med book, huh?
My med book was Doomsday number 1 or Batman Superman 3.1, I believe.
Which is a bummer, because that's one of the only villain books that was actually written by the writer of that book.
Yeah, and it just... What was confusing about it was... It took place on Krypton, or what you're led to believe. And there's actually Supergirl, or Kara, I think is what her...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a super person.
Right.
Right.
Friend Kara.
Popular.
But it takes place on Krypton, and she's a child... So you're led to believe it takes place in the past, but they're talking about the death of Superman and all that, which takes place in the future. And so it was just super confusing and super, and it didn't really explain itself all that well.
J'ai une question.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought Supergirl and Superman left the planet around the same time, but since they're both babies, right?
That's exactly
you
my
mean
point.
Kara and Superman left.
That's why it's confusing.
That's why it's
because
confusing. Because it clearly is written in the past. Right. It's clearly written in the past, but it talks about something that hasn't happened yet.
This is wibbly wobbly timey-wimey.
You know what, though? Exactly. Some time travel is written well. For example, X-Men that I talked about, not my favorite book of the week, but still a really good book.
Mm.
They've had all this time travel stuff where the past X-Men came to the current time, then the future X-Men came to the current time. Well, now, get this, the current X-Men went to the future to check the future X-Men story, and there's a different team of future X-Men. What? I chuckled out loud when I was reading it. Because it just like, I'm at work in the break room, and I turn the last page, and there's more future X-Men, and I just laugh because I'm like, this is so crazy.
Bendis is good. He's
never ended.
But he's doing a great job of it.
Yeah. It was more about the Kryptonians than it was about Doomsday. He was only in it for a very short amount of time.
I've noticed a lot of the villain books have done that a little bit, where it's more about the people they affect
themselves. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Those were our books of the week, so, you know.
Yeah, so...
You know.
So how about our moment of glory?
Yeah. My moment of glory!
And,
comes from your book of the week.
It does. It absolutely does. And,
There will be spoilers.
So, at the very end of Secret Society, the whole time you're... The book's basically being narrated by Alfred of Earth 3.
Who got jokerized, and that's why he laughs all the time.
Exactly.
He's pale.
Which they do a very good job. And you kind of pointed this out, that they don't call the Joker the Jokester in this. It's the Joker.
Which is weird, because I remember before they did the relaunch, when they did the Earth 3 stuff, the crime syndicate were the bad guys, and then the good guys were, like, villain characters, but they had different names. Like how Batman in Earth 3 is Owlman.
Right.
They had... the Joker was there, but he was a hero, and he was named the Jokester. Whereas in this, he's just called the Joker.
Yeah.
And he didn't seem like a hero so much as just someone who didn't like the crime syndicate.
I don't know.
I mean, he chopped up Earth 3 Nightwing, who they call Talon.
Yeah.
In that book.
Yeah.
So that's pretty gross.
That's true. That was pretty gross. But, well, and... I guess he was kind of for the people, though. Like, he kind of...
That's true.
I don't know. He was very much a vigilante.
He's like The Rock. He's a people's champ.
Yeah.
That's right. No one gives a crap. But, but anyway, the moment of glory actually comes from the very last page of the book. We all know that they've captured Nightwing and all that. But
and revealed to the world that he's
that Dick Grayson. I said that really weird. Dick Grayson. But the very last page, they have him all tied up, and Alfred lays one of the coins down that they use to recruit people to the secret society down at Nightwing's feet, meaning they're trying to recruit him.
And basically the reason they kidnapped him, and this is so important to Forever Evil, so if people didn't read this,
yeah,
and they're reading Forever Evil, I'm hoping they'll explain it again.
But, I don't think they will.
But basically, the reason that they kept Dick Grayson alive and exposed him and everything is because the Earth 3 Dick Grayson was killed by the Joker, like we just talked about,
yeah,
and he was like Owlman's best friend.
Yeah.
And so Alfred of Earth 3... the outsider, mm-hmm, was like preserving him so that when Owlman got there, he could have a Nightwing again, basically.
Right.
He's like, this guy will be his best friend, which I don't think you're taking into account that Nightwing's a good guy on Earth, on the,
like,
the
he's
main
not just
Earth,
gonna switch. Well,
and he's not just gonna be like, well, I guess.
And well, and something you brought up to me as well is, so there's one panel of Owlman and Superwoman
Mackin.
Sure, that's a good way to put it.
Mm, yeah.
And so...
says all the guys in the room.
And Superwoman was actually the one who captured Nightwing in,
right.
in Earth 1. You know,
well, Prime Earth. Prime, whatever it is.
Whatever way they want
Earth
to say
52,
it.
I guess. I don't know.
Whatever. And how she just did it very nonchalantly. So we're thinking...
Sounds hot.
We're going to put our names on it, all right?
Okay. I'm right when you are.
That it's sort of how Wonder Woman is treating Rick Grayson. Is treating Dick Grayson as sort of like a... to get back at Owlman. Like, she wants to be all about Owlman and doesn't want anybody to get in the way of that.
You know what sound Owlman makes?
What's that?
I don't think he does. So that's not actually...
But no, I'll tell
how,
you.
How would you know? It's only in words.
Yeah, I guess I don't really know.
What makes you the authority, bro?
So that... I mean, that was my... I think that was the best moment in comics this week is when there was that reveal of, oh, this is why they captured Dick Grayson.
Right.
The problem is, if people didn't read that book, then it's going to be confusing in the next issue of Forever Evil, which comes out next week.
Well, and it complicates things even further because clearly Alfred wants to kill Dick Grayson as well.
Right.
So I'm thinking that Alfred...
Evil Alfred.
Evil Alfred.
The Outsider.
Yeah. I'm going to call him Evil Alfred. I think for some reason he's working against Owlman at some... Or for something. Like, I don't know. I see that. But yeah, that was definitely the best moment in comics
for
this
sure
week. So... But so
I think it's time to get to know somebody special.
Yeah, yeah.
And this weekend, getting to know you, we're going to talk about distractions.
You.
And the reason we want to talk about the reason we want to talk about him is because we found out that he's not only leaving Fantastic Four and FF, but that actually the last issues that we read were his last issues,
which is such a bummer.
I understand he's working to make time for Inhuman, which is going to be a great book. But I love Fantastic Four, and I love FF, and he's brought a lot to those books.
But, like you said earlier today, the FF that came out this week, which was great as well, it just kind of got lost in the shuffle,
right,
was scripted by...
The Allred Brothers.
The Allred Brothers, who is going to be taking over the book. So it'll be just Allred, or is that just for a couple of issues?
I don't know. They didn't really make it very clear if that was like a fill-in thing or if it's all the time. I hope it's all the time because they did a great job.
They did a fantastic job.
The book
job
still felt exactly the same. The humor was there.
Exactly.
There was like a back and forth about taking over the world with Caesar and Maxwell both mad.
Yeah.
And the best line in the book is Caesar goes, I'm going to conquer this world, so you better just step off. And he's talking about how he was the one who coined the term bitty bitty beachy.
Yeah.
And then Maximus the Mad goes, I VD'd this earth first. And I about crap myself. I was laughing so much. That's a good joke.
One of my favorite from this issue was the Impossible Boy is there, and they're trying to kind of make him feel comfortable or whatever, but he's not responding to anything. And so one of the mole mites out there.
Yeah.
Just goes like, hey kids, comics. And then just gives them comic books.
Nice. And then a comic book about his dad, the Impossible Man, being a villain. Actually, have that.
Get that cut out of my face!
They gave him. And, and he's like, my dad is not a supervillain. They're like, no. Let us explain to you.
They break down the color scheme.
Heroes are and see, Matt Fraction did plot all this.
Right.
So, part of it's him, but it was real well written. Anyway, about Matt Fraction.
And also Sex Criminals number 1 came out this week and was great.
It's a mature book.
Very mature book. I don't
But Matt Fraction's creator-owned stuff sometimes is hit or miss for me. I like his superhero stuff better.
I will say, though, this personally for me was...
All
right. Crack of the bat is what we
three little tidbits you might want to know about Matt Fraction is...
field goal.
Sorry. Do you want to take this over, Tiffany? I know normally you do the news, but you can do this too if you'd like.
Yeah.
Oh, give me 1 second. Let me pull that up here. So I'll post it on our
Facebook page.
This bores me.
I know I name drop a lot. Total cool guy. Really nice to talk to. Well, he was cool when we talked to him, right? Like...
He kind of grabbed my butt.
He was one of the first like signatures we got at C2E2, so we were afraid. We didn't know how it was going to go. He'd be annoyed, but he was super cool, down to earth, talked about Thor a lot.
It was really fun. It's when he's riding Thor, and his Thor is really great, too.
He, Scott Snyder, and Jeff Lemire, like, the three writers that I like, that's my personal goal to actually meet. So, hey, Mr. Fraction, if you listen to this.
Hey, Mr. Postman?
Hey, Mr. Fraction.
Okay, Mr. Fraction. Number one, his real name is interesting. It's actually Matt Fraction.
Yeah, and Matt Fraction is actually a pen name, which I think I sort of already knew that before I did the research for this. I didn't know what his name was, but I knew that Matt Fraction was a pen name. Kind of like, you know, the artist Frank Quietly. That's not a real name, obviously. And he just took...
What's his name?
I don't know what his name is, but he took the...
Obviously.
He took the little phrase, quite frankly, and just flipped them.
Number two, he is married to fellow comic book writer Kelly Sue DeConnick.
I think that is actually her real name.
Okay.
I
don't know for sure.
Kelly Sue DeConnick.
She's talented.
A great writer, too.
Very talented.
They both only write for Marvel, which is weird. Maybe they're exclusive.
One Image now.
They'd probably
break up their marriage if they wrote for opposite ones.
Probably.
And three, he used to work at a comic book store in North Carolina.
Yeah, that was like his job right before he started writing comics was he worked at a comic book store.
Again,
is that an on the side?
I don't know about that.
I'm developing a serious theory, guys.
That's all the little tidbits you need to know about Matt Fraction. His Wikipedia page has more information than that.
Absolutely.
And also, he has a Twitter, and his Twitter is hilarious.
His name on Twitter is Serious Twitter, and it makes me laugh every single time.
Oh, that's why he popped up when I tried to tweet him. That's funny.
Yeah. So, definitely check him out on Twitter, because his stuff is funny.
He's hilarious, so. But, so, with this being, Like we said earlier, last week of Villains Month, we kind of wanted to do a little bit of a different topic. You know, we haven't really talked about like morality, I guess, with this comic or the podcast yet. But
we try not to be too preachy.
Yeah, sure. But
break out the soapboxes, boys and girls.
The only time we ever got preachy on the show is when we were talking about Big Bang Theory. We're not going to do that.
We won't do that anymore.
We felt a little bad.
Speaking of Big Bang Theory, there has been some TV show news.
Oh, crud!
Oh, yeah. The same thing from the news flash of Tiffany.
Okay, so number one in the news, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premiered to 11 million viewers.
It did.
And I was not one of those 11 million. Fox announced a new Gotham TV show.
Yes, that's what I'm interested in.
And we'll talk about these once you get through all the
stories. Number two, Nintendo confirms that Toon Link is a returning character.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Nice.
Number three, WB is casting a mysterious female lead for the next Superman movie. Agencies are speculating that it might be Wonder Woman.
Pile
WB
of crap.
WB is not confirming or denying.
They won't put their name on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, first let's talk about the TV shows. You watch S.H.I.E.L.D.? I watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep in mind that it was the pilot.
Right.
And that, and like, you're watching Arrow now. The show
The Arrow pilot was not very good, but then I love Arrow now.
Exactly. So, like, it didn't take enough risks for me. It played it very safe, very close to the vest. Something I did like about it, though, was that it did start bringing in some movie-verse stuff. They talked about Extremis, which I really enjoyed.
I was surprised to see
I didn't
that.
Like that they talked about Extremis, only because, well, one, you know, I don't really like Iron Man 3 that much.
And, you know, watching
but,
that episode, I saw... I,
no,
was, like,
two,
like,
I
was like,
but
oh,
two,
crap, here goes...
Do you realize that that episode aired on the day Iron Man 3 came out on DVD and Blu-ray? It was almost like... And here's a commercial, go buy this DVD
no, that's exactly
so you can
right.
understand what this villain's about. That was kind of
lame. Well, okay.
Product placement.
And I did like that Coulson still had his personality.
Agent Coulson
movies.
Was my favorite part of
it.
Right.
Agent Coulson is Agent Coulson.
Kobe Smulders could have not been in it, and I would have been perfectly fine with it.
Yeah.
Or Maria Hill, or whatever her name is, in the she was completely useless. But I thought it was okay.
That's exactly what
I read.
Okay.
You know, I was reading a lot of like comic book writers, like how they felt about it. Because I always do that with movies or anything, just because like they work in the industry,
right,
so I
yeah.
don't want to hear what they say.
If
and I don't remember. I don't remember who said this. I want to say it's probably Charles Soule because I look at his Twitter a lot. Like him and Matt Fraction and Scott Snyder. I'm always like, because they have this best things to say. But it's probably one of those three guys. So I'm sorry if you know I get it wrong. But one of those three guys I think said that. The problem with the S.H.I.E.L.D. premiere was, one, that they played it too safe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it definitely was just... It could have been so much more. And then his argument for that is, you can't play a premiere safe in the post-Breaking Bad world.
Sure.
Which we're approaching the last episode of Breaking Bad on Sunday.
Right.
I'm pretty sad about that. But that is a show that kind of changes how things work. I mean, now, like...
Well, the way I think of it, like, if you would have played that show 10 years ago, it would have been... There's no way it would have been on TV.
It would have never
Even if you put it on HBO, like...
Yeah.
It wouldn't... And it definitely wouldn't be as popular as it is, that's for sure.
Right.
It
would be completely cult, like, following.
Yeah.
But now we live in a world where TV shows have to, like, be a little more cutting edge than... S.H.I.E.L.D. was just, like, right out of the box... About as Walmart nerd as you get, just here it is on TV.
Yeah, like, hey kids, tune in for a grown-up version of the cartoons you're
watching. Yeah, exactly. It was basically, here's the Avengers, sans Avengers. And that made me kind of bummed out. Also, isn't it weird that they didn't mention the Avengers? Like, they mentioned them in an offhanded way, but they never said Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk.
Maria Hill did make a little joke at the beginning where she was like, oh, and Thor's a god. And the guy was like, yeah, I'm not sure he's really good. Well, you haven't been next to his arms.
Yeah, there's that.
Shucks.
But anyway.
Tickle me pink.
The thing I did like about it is it does have a Firefly feel to it.
Yeah.
Where, which is kind of good. But here's the problem with it. Is it's weird because Firefly, I always say, is a cast of Han Solos.
Mm-hmm.
S.H.I.E.L.D. had no Han Solos. It was just the worst characters.
I can't.
Other than Coulson.
Yeah. Like, I don't.
I think you're trying to look at the big. It's the pilot. Remember?
Yeah. Right.
Like, if
right.
You, like with any show, even
grow.
With Breaking Bad, any show, like. It's going to develop over time. They're going to introduce people. And part of the reason you can't go full. Everyone wants to be like, well, we gotta make the new Breaking Bad. Their audience, that's not their audience, man.
Yeah,
that's why
true.
They're on network TV. That's why Breaking Bad's on AMC. Like, their goal is to reach a much... They don't, to be honest, they probably don't care about ultra nerds. They're like, man, I don't care about those guys. They're not the ones who drive my budget bus.
That's
you know
true.
This is why we have Chris Payne on the podcast.
I know,
because
I don't want people to think that I hate S.H.I.E.L.D., because I think people think I hate everything.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the show, and I'm going to watch more of the show and see where it goes.
My standard philosophy is 3 episodes.
3 is mine, too. Someone told me that you should do 4 because the pilot should never count, and you should do pilot plus 3. I disagree.
Well, then that's algebra, and...
Yeah.
I will say something else.
This is nerd management for comic books, not actual books like algebra books.
Who needs, who needs any of that?
Sex and math.
There was one other show, because this is pilot season, of course. And there was one other show that I watched, and I didn't like it as much, but it was called Sleepy Hollow.
Okay. People were talking about that on Twitter like crazy.
I watched the pilot, and even though I didn't like it as much, they didn't play it close to the vest like S.H.I.E.L.D. did. Super weird, super out there.
Do you think they're trying to compete with Grimm?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Oh, that's absolutely.
That's what I assume just from the...
Totally. But even though I didn't enjoy it, the way they did the pilot was actually what S.H.I.E.L.D. should have tried to do, at least. But I'd say... Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to move us on to the next
thing. No, I would say out of 5 stars, I'd give it probably 3.
But if you say, like, you're like, I didn't really enjoy it, but they should have done it like this, that doesn't make sense. Like, why would... if do you understand? Like, if you didn't
you're
like it, why would you want them to...
airplane runways.
Because they completely embraced the weirdness.
Definitely.
But I think if Marvel had taken that and done it with the characters that they have...
taken the attitude.
It would have made it that much better.
I mean,
because
I hope it happens,
say,
too. Like,
yeah.
It's going to get there. The characters will develop and they'll be enjoyable.
I watched that first episode several times. I'm talking about the S.H.I.E.L.D. Just to see if I missed something, maybe it was too early in the morning, whatever. And there is a lot of potential buildup.
Yeah, for sure.
There were plenty of mysteries that I'm like, okay, I want to see where this goes.
Right, yeah, like...
So it's definitely going to be a show that I probably will watch and enjoy, but just right now, the pilot didn't really strike me.
Yeah.
But, there's not really anything to say about Gotham, the show that got announced, other than it's a Jim Gordon origin.
Other than that, I'm super excited.
Intriguingly enough, this is the part, and we'll talk about this, but we don't really have time to talk about it right now, but I do want to mention that it's going to be on Fox, even though the WB owns CW. Like,
whoa,
why is that happening?
And Fox owns almost half of Marvel's stuff.
So, and now I don't know if Fox the channel works the same way as, like, 20th Century Fox does with movies. Like, I don't think just by showing that show they own the character.
You know what would be
like
the
that.
Best thing for them to do? Is because they obviously own FX. Put it on FXX.
Yes.
Yes.
Put it on FXX.
I've said
it can be more adult. It's on cable. Like, they can take more risks on.
But again, like Chris was saying, with this, they probably want the people that aren't watching cable channels.
And also,
but they could.
This was the same way for all of us as kids. This is what you got to remember. You weren't on the meat and potato nerd when you were a baby. You were on the milk. And we need that milk for the younger generation.
And this is how
like a kid gets introduced to comics. We want that, man. We're like, sweet, that's awesome. And then they'll want to get deeper. If like you throw like this crazy, like super in depth story,
Alan Moore,
or someone like where they have to immediately know like all the characters to understand anything that's happening. Most kids are going to be turned off.
Yeah, that's probably true.
What scares me about that, because I completely agree, that's how I got
into...
That's
why they have the Marvel Heroes series on, like...
Right, exactly. It's going to be completely Batman-less at first. So I'm afraid that there's going to be a kid that watches it and be like, oh, this
Gotham
character's really
Batman?
Cool. Exactly. And
so it's going to be like, what, CSI Gotham?
Well, there was a comic, I think maybe in the 90s or may have been... Gotham Central.
Awesome book.
Where it was completely focused on Gotham PD.
I remember
that. And they were
that.
Just
kind of
like, all the crazy junk was in the background. And I hope that's what it's like.
Those were investigating.
So they're like little cameos.
They found like
that.
Batman's playing bees and things. Like when,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if they'll actually incorporate this into the movie verse at all
It's tricky. I mean, it could, but... Because
it's not owned
by
Warner Brothers.
Right.
It's owned by Fox.
It could all get tied up. But next news story, we won't spend a lot of time on it, just other than I love Toon Link. In Smash Brothers, Toon Link is my second favorite, second only to Luigi, and I dominate with Toon Link.
Pile of crap.
None of this...
Hey, I do. I'm good
None
with
of this surprises me.
Against maybe like the computer or something.
Anyway, I'm pumped that Toon Link's gonna be back.
But against Chris Peach Banna.
I was worried because he wasn't on the original roster, and I was like, you know what? They shouldn't get rid of Toon Link because
he rules. Was he in Brawl or was he in Melee? I think he was in Melee. I don't think he was in Brawl.
Brawl, they went back. Brawl was the Twilight Link.
You're right.
Toon Link's in Brawl. Toon Link's in Brawl.
Is he?
Not in Melee, yeah.
Because
that's all we've played together.
But
you put your name on it?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I know that. Okay. Right.
Just like after this, you're going to get a beatdown.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tiffany didn't find the game, so.
Oh, damn!
You heard it, guys. You heard it. 10 p.m. Eastern Central Time. Chris Peach Banna.
What was the third news story? I'm going to get so off track.
The third news is the
Wonder Woman. Oh, yeah. The casting call basically said it wanted a woman between late 20s, early 30s, and then there's the kicker. It said a lead for the Superman Batman movie, and
she has to be sort
she
of.
She has
filled.
To be. They said they want her to look strong. That there's only two options. It's either there's a female villain, which I can't think of very many female villains in Superman, especially Batman. Related, I mean, Poison Ivy, but she's not really strong.
No,
Uma Thurman's too old. They're gonna grab Ronda
Thurman.
Anybody watch UFC in here? They're gonna Ronda Rousey. That's what we'll be.
Everyone's saying her or Gina, whatever, also from UFC.
From Haywire, I think. Awesome. Yeah,
that'd be good. With
yeah,
that.
But basically, it comes down to probably not a villain if it's a lead in a movie that has Batman and Superman. It almost has to be Wonder Woman. And what,
I would love to see
what
a
made
Wonder
me
Woman
think,
for this generation.
What made me think that's awesome. Probably going to happen is that all these websites are trying to like get an answer from Warner Brothers, obviously, and they won't confirm or deny. When you won't deny it, that's basically confirming it. Most of that.
We kind of got misled with Doctor Who, too. But they won't confirm or deny it.
I guess that's true.
Speaking of Superman... type stuff. We did miss Mr. Christopher Reeve's birthday yesterday. He would have been
61. R.I.P. Mm-hmm. Don't you dare. I know what you're going for. Don't you dare.
He was going for the Nintendo Game Over music. That's not cool, man. Come on, man.
It's on my main one.
Anyway. So that's the news. That's the
Superman.
News for this week. The news flash for this week. Time to get into the topic that we already discussed a little bit about what's good, what's bad, where... At what point are kids introduced to the concept of good versus evil, which is basically the concept in every form of storytelling?
Sure. And I do want to go on record of saying I'm sorry that I skipped your news flash. But,
sorry, I corrected you.
But you're a huge Disney fan.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I think it's fair to say that most children's first...
my first movie I've ever seen was Aladdin.
Most children's first experience with good versus evil is Disney.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mine was that I can recall first experience would have been two Disney movies, Little Mermaid, so Ursula, and Fantasia. And I recall Fantasia as my earliest because demon in the last segment scared me.
But he's not evil. He's just dancing around
in
the dark.
In your
mind, he's a dancer in the dark. He's Bjork.
In your mind,
that was way too hard, pal.
Everything else,
sorry,
that awful demon who's like making other demons dance. Like,
if it makes you feel any better, Dumbo, the scene where like he essentially gets drunk,
it was scary.
The bejesus out of
So basically, all the LSD scenes scared us as children.
Pretty much.
You know, considering it's good and evil, considering the fact that Disney was incredibly racist in its early years.
Okay.
Everybody have Jack Kirby.
He also, Donald Duck also fought Hitler, so let's just be...
That's so true.
That's true. Just
be, way to go, Donald. Saving
way to do it.
Thanks for saving America.
Is it weird, that I thought, when you said Fantasia, even though I know what Fantasia is, I thought of Anastasia, the...
Rasputin?
Yeah, a little white bat.
Rasputin?
He wasn't actually... He wasn't actually a villain in real life. I mean, technically... We won't get into history about him.
Either way, like
I was talking about a cartoon.
Your early influence of good versus evil kind of effects.
So he saved the royal family.
Evil now, like
right.
I am scared to death, and War makes fun of me of that stupid Paranormal Activity movie because I think demons are real and they freak me out.
That's okay,
and
but here I'll give you a spoiler on that movie. When the camera slows down, something scary is about to happen. That's when you close your eyes. That when the screaming stops in the theater, you can open your eyes back up, wait for the camera to slow down, you know, wash, rinse, repeat.
I understand that, but I think the reason that demon stuff messes with me so much is just because that's what scared me first when I was a kid.
That makes sense.
Okay,
makes
fair
sense.
Enough.
Yeah, I feel if you're going from that aspect, I can see what you're saying.
It absolutely makes sense. And it goes into comics because of what we view certain characters as, you know, either they walk the line between, like, a perfect example, we were saying Black Adam, just coming from this week. He's a villain. I mean, he had a Villains Month book. He's Shazam's villain. But in this light that, you know, of the issue that came out this week, he wasn't a bad guy.
Right.
He was just kind of defending, he was just kind of defending his home, I guess you could
right.
say.
Right, and when you get, it's funny to see, like, when you get older, it kind of blurs because...
Oh, yeah.
There's not, like, with characters, there's a lot more anti-villains, like Sinestro. Originally, when he was created in the 60s, or the, I want to say 60s, probably 60s, I'll put my name on that. And originally, when Sinestro was created in the 60s, he was like a villain, just nasty evil for no reason.
Right.
Well, then now, like, Geoff Johns and several other writers have given him this backstory of, like, why he's that way, and you're like, oh, well, I kind of feel for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not so much evil as he is, like, driven. And
right.
You that as an adult, that's you're like, oh, I can see that. I understand that concept.
So I'll try to tell myself when I have a bad boss, they're not evil.
Yeah.
They just work really hard.
Yeah. and that's kind of like a concept, like an adult concept of good and evil. It's so much harder to define. But even like when you're a young kid, like 5 to 10,
yeah.
There's a pretty like obvious, this is good, this is evil, and
right.
That's where you get Disney movies. I mean, as a kid, the cartoons of superhero things, Batman is clearly a good guy, the Joker is clearly evil, and all of that stuff is very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But go back a little earlier, and I only know this because, I swear I only know this because I have a less than 1 year old son. I watch a lot of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and Jake and the Neverland Pirates, and remember Captain Hook was super evil in Hook.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, that guy is just bad.
Dustin Hoffman.
But when
absolutely.
When you're watching Jake and the Neverland Pirates, he's just kind of a jerk
and
annoying.
Their toys.
Like, he's like, I want what they have, and so I'm going to take it. But then when they confront him about it, he's like, oh, sorry. You got me.
What?
And that's what we get. Like, for young kids, it's more like
this
just
is,
bullies.
Yeah.
Like, people that are nice and people that are mean. And it's so.
But what's crazy about that? Is we took Jude to the store and we held up a little doll of Jake from Jake and the Neverland Pirates,
mm-hmm.
and he recognized it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted it, he smiled, he laughed. I put it down, held up a Captain Hook one, he wanted nothing to do with it. We have tried this 3 times now as he's gotten older, and he still wants nothing to do with
mm-hmm.
Captain Hook. So even at 6, 7 months old,
he
knows
what
bad versus good.
Huh. But like I'm saying, with the early, with the young ages, it's more like nice guy
they're
versus mean guy. It's not
right.
like bad and good because
because they still have their innocence.
Well,
right?
For example,
so they
like
don't understand
Pete,
evil.
Pete, the Disney character, typically like plays the villain in like the cartoons from when we were like kids. You know, like
oh,
like the,
oh, the
Three
okay.
Musketeers,
Goofy's
yeah,
yeah,
fat brother.
Three Musketeers.
Right.
Pete is the villain.
Yes,
but then Goof Troop, he's just kind of like the mean neighbor.
He's the cranky boss.
He's the cranky
yes.
neighbor. But then even that like. Strip it down even more, and Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, he just kind of is annoying. Like,
yeah.
They don't invite him to parties because they're like,
Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
That's
he's
why
like
I,
Oscar
you
the
know
Grouch.
That's why he's so pissed off though. No one's like, "Hey Pete, come hang out."
And so
like,
maybe
hey,
that's,
screw you, Pete. You're not
maybe that's
party.
How the character evolved. Like he started in Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, where like, oh, we forgot to send him an invitation
no,
to the party,
on the
and then now he's actually. Like. Oh, well, now I'm just going to be this really mean neighbor to Goofy in Goof Troop. But then after that, we have just evil
well,
Pete,
well,
where he plays the devil in a Christmas
right.
Carol.
That is him.
He's also bad in Two Hearts.
Yeah, he's a villain in Kingdom Hearts. He's a villain in Kingdom Hearts, too. So.
Well, in Goof Troop, they were all just being best of friends forever,
man.
Yeah.
Stand out.
A Goofy movie is so great.
Sorry.
I actually had the summer break song stuck in my head at work the other day. When he's like going through, like they're all talking about what they're gonna do for
I'm
the summer.
Sit on my bike.
Yep. And they're all like super pumped. They're all super pumped about it, except for Max, who's just like bummed out because he's like, "Oh, Roxanne, meh."
Roxanne!
Yes! Alec Ward across the room.
That should have been in that movie.
It should have.
They did.
Come on,
kill me.
I don't know. Disney probably could have. They could have bought.
But where do you think it is? What do you think it is about? Like, what age do you think it is that it's like? Well, here's where we stop going with mean and nice, and then there's clearly a hero and a villain. Because that change happens somewhere.
I think it happens when you, as a person.
Yeah, it's about when
you start to develop, I guess.
When
like,
you get to start choosing between being nice and being mean.
I think also they make it easier whenever, like, when they have someone who kills off another character. That, like, really makes the line much more distinct. Like, I stole his lunch money. You're like, nah.
Well, like, I was talking about this earlier, yesterday, actually, when we were thinking about this. But I grew up on, like, Scooby-Doo. You know, Scooby-Doo, where are you? And
nobody
the villains... he's like a, you know, the guy that, like, solves the mysteries with those people, right?
Is this dog?
Yeah.
He's the street's called Scooby Snacks. I don't know why they need them all the time.
But,
why do they always have so many masks?
Okay, this is what I was going to say, is the villains don't ever do anything, like...
Yeah, they're just...
The worst thing that they do is they haunt an abandoned amusement park.
They put too much dry ice into a basement.
It's just they don't even try to kill they're some crazy dude.
And they would have got away with it.
Like, but they're just like... They're like... It's like a corrupt businessman. It's not even like a villain.
Right.
They're just like, I wanted this land for cheap, and if they thought it was haunted, they were going to sell it for cheap.
Right.
But now you guys showed them that it's worth money.
And they get arrested every single time. I want to see a show after they're like... Just a...
Right,
this is a prison full of these people that didn't do anything.
Yeah, they're like
we do CSI. Like, we gotta drop all the charges.
Yeah, there's no legal charge that you can do to someone for pretending to be a ghost at a theme park. Like, that's not
get Harvey
to like lower the value. I don't think there's any law against that.
I don't know, but.
you're not a villain. You're just kind of
you're
a jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, nobody ever gets hurt. The worst thing that ever happens, somebody gets, like, knocked out or something.
Right.
Or
that
your
glass.
Yeah.
And there's, like, no matter how haunted and gross these places are, the kitchen is always fully stocked for
Shaggy
and
Scooby. Totally.
Fully stocked.
So I'm thinking that when somebody gets knocked out, that must be, like, second-degree murder for them. Like, that's...
But I say no, you say survival!
Bane is a good villain.
Yeah.
Clearly evil. Just that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But
so you've got a big statue of Galactus up there. Do you think he's evil? Because
no.
I think he's just
See,
doing a job.
That's a good one. Galactus is just hungry.
So
sweet. Gotta get them cheeseburgers.
He's like,
I would gladly trade you a cheeseburger today.
He's like,
for
listen,
a cheeseburger tomorrow.
He's like, listen, I feel bad for you guys that I have to eat your planet, but listen.
I gotta get them arms.
Yeah. Like, of course, I always go back to this, but I think Joker is just truly crazy and evil, and just
he is the
has his
of
own
evil,
agenda. And I'm wondering, like, how your childhood evil reflects on what you really think is evil today. You know what I mean? Like, yours was Scooby Doo.
No, that was just me being stupid and funny, but...
What if it was serious?
And I was like, yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's
like,
evil
for
me.
like how you were
scared of the demon guys in Fantasia, and so
and
Paranormal Activity scares you. So you're saying, like, he was scared of the Scooby-Doo villains.
So
he's
scared
really
of real
scared
estate
of,
agents.
He's really scared of businessmen with latex masks.
Let me tell you something. Halloween time around, like business offices where they have, like, you know, the casual Friday where they can actually wear their terrifying for me.
He's like, that guy was wearing a suit yesterday, and now he's in a room full of dry ice and he's wearing a latex mask.
I can't go to a bank anywhere near Halloween.
What if they're pretending to haunt that and there's not some 70s teenagers around to save the day?
were they teenagers? I'd say they're probably like mid-30s.
All I know is that there's always a...
gotta be, right?
There's a faint mist of smoke that always came out of the back of that van.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're like 20s, probably, I would imagine.
I'm gonna say solid 34.
I think they were old enough.
Old enough to be...
No, just old enough, period.
They're old enough to...
That's all
that really matters in life.
With that, I think we'll call her.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and close it out. We're going to be doing some specials in the next couple of weeks. Things to look out for. We're doing a podcast from Comic Book University. Best comic book store in Indianapolis area, definitely. We'll be podcasting from there about the release of Walking Dead 115.
And Afterlife with Archie.
Afterlife with Archie, woo, which I'm super pumped about, by the way.
Francesco Francavilla.
It's going to be great. But anyway, lots of fun zombie stuff. And that'll be right in time for Halloween. We'll be releasing that.
Yeah.
Also, hopefully sometime in the next couple months, we'll be doing a Swamp Thing special. Like we did with the Batman one. We'll just kind of like cover our favorite Swamp Thing stories and
basically.
So in other words, I was just going to sit here and
basically,
listen to
you talk. You guys are going to push play or record.
I'm going to walk upstairs and drink all your.
Yeah, and an
sodas.
Hour later, Warner's going to be like, "And that was
and that was my first."
Thanks for showing up.
But anyway,
how do you think I feel? I'm like cornered here in this house.
And how do you think I feel that no one wants to listen to me talk about Swamp Thing?
Okay, Warner has a Swamp Thing tattoo with Lynn Wein's name on it.
I do.
And he doesn't have my name or anything about me anywhere on his body. I told him no more strange men until you rectify the other situation.
To be fair, is Lynn Wein a strange man?
He's not a stranger to me. We're good friends.
Yeah, we all heard the story.
Yeah. Our name dropped all over the place. Anyway, speaking of name dropping, the best place to name drop is on Twitter. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter. We have a Nerd Management Twitter as well as Alec has a Twitter that sometimes I look at.
It's full of funny jokes.
When he's not staring at Charles Soule's face.
Come on, guys, don't make me sound creepy. I'm not weird.
I'm at the Alec Ward. The podcast is at NerdMGMT.
I'm at W Swopes.
And I'm at Queen Swopes.
At Jay Sainless.
You can follow me on none of that stupid stuff. You can follow me on Instagram, though. Prepare the laser beam.
Nice.
Also, you guys are having a show coming up, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We're doing a show. Brother of Brother is playing a show tomorrow night in Franklin at the Gear. And
then we're going to Chicago.
Yeah, then we're going to Chicago mid-month. So that'd be fun.
Wait,
there
when?
There you go.
2 weeks.
We might be in Chicago at the same time.
You should come see our show in Chicago.
Shay and I are going to go up there.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. Dustin's getting married this weekend.
Woo! Yeah, Dustin's getting married this weekend.
Oh, wait, no, that's not the one I wanted.
And that's of course, last but not least, don't forget to check out our reviews we write for Fanboy Factor. I've written a couple this week. I've been busy little bee.
Yeah. Also, as we say we are going to have a site coming up very soon.
Oh, yeah,
we are hard at work on that.
And that'll be nerdmanagement.com. That'll be fun. And nerdmgmt.com.
Yes.
And you'll be able to see the. Hopefully, we'll be doing some live feeds at some point.
And don't forget to go buy your comic books at Comic Book University.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thanks again. And actually, we talked about eBay completed auctions today. Not as a joke, like I literally mentioned it. But
yeah. Check them.
Always for your best and most accurate information, check the eBay completed auctions. Good night.
Bye, guys.
This just looks like a Tim and Eric sketch now.
Just close up shots.
Call the tree on the couch.
Shrimp!
I'm starting to go.
Watch.
The green arrow and Joker from wrestling.
I handled that.
I was waiting on that all night.